guys get some of that old Luther Vandross on y'all ass. I gotta let this ride.
She's a super lady.
All right, that's enough of that. Hey, man, what's going on, man? Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. I'm your host. My name is Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in. The phone number is 818-850-5404. That is the number. What I'm going to do, I'm going to take a real quick commercial break because we got a lot of good stuff to get into. So I don't want to waste time, ladies and gentlemen. So we'll be right back.
Do you have any personal dating issues that you need addressed right now? Dating and life coach Mr. Locario will help you with his 30-minute game session. The Mr. Locario's 30-minute game session is a private one-on-one coaching session on the phone or through Skype. For 30 minutes, you'll get answers to any dating questions you have. To set up your 30-minute game session, go to MrLocario.com. That's MrLocario.com. MrLocario.com.
Hey, check this out, guys. There's a brand new book out called Black History in a Nutshell. Now, this is a great book on black history. It talks about things like how the planet Earth was a world of all black people from the beginning of time to about 4000 BC. It talks about how black people were the first people in America when Africa and America was one land and divided 40,000 BC. Visit blackhistoryshell.com or visit Amazon for information on this amazing book of black history. That's Black History in a Nutshell at blackhistoryshell.com. Yo, if you have a business, if you have a blog, you have a website, or any other kind of URL that needs traffic, then say no more. Go to buywebsitetraffics.net, and for as little as $5, you can run traffic from anywhere around the world. It delivers targeted and real visitors with YouTube, Twitter, and a Facebook package. So go right now to buywebsitetraffics.net. And get that traffic flowing. Again, that's buywebsitetraffics.net. What's up, family? If you make music and you're looking for experienced, no-nonsense audio engineers that can professionally mix and master your music, then check out my friends at LegendaryMix.com. With over 15 years in the music industry, their expertise is unmatched. LegendaryMix.com delivers professional music mixing mastering for a great price with a fast turnaround time. As a bonus to sign up to the email list at LegendaryMix.com, you'll receive a discount link and a free music marketing ebook. So drop everything right now. Send a text to legendarymix.com at 347-565-5892 or email music@legendarymix.com.
This is the Fortune 500 marketer, Musa Ali. Are you sick of working a dead-end job and want to be financially free? Well, LSV Marketing is a marketing company that pays you $500 to $1,000 every Friday on autopilot for simply referring people to our company. It's that simple. If you sign up now at lsvmarketing.com, I'll plug you into our free training so you can start making money in your sleep. But you have to sign up now because spots are limited. Go to lsvmarketing.com. That's lsvmarketing.com.
Are you or a loved one facing criminal charges? Have you been hurt in an accident? Are you looking for aggressive representation from an experienced attorney? Let this former prosecutor evaluate your case for free. Call or text the Harmon Law Firm, located in Savannah, Georgia. The Harmon Law Firm represents clients throughout the whole state of Georgia. They're convenient and they're affordable. Give them a call at 912-662-6058 or email Crystal at HarmonLawFirmLLC.com.
What up, everybody? It's your boy, Crispy, everybody. And I got a brand new video game app out right now, everybody. It's called Crispy's Biscuits, everybody. And you can get the Crispy's Biscuits app right now on the iPhone Apple Store, everybody. And you can also get it on the Google Play Store, everybody. As a matter of fact, everybody, it was the number one game on Google Play all last week, everybody. The game is so exciting, everybody. There's 10 levels you can help me get through, everybody. Where I'm dodging bottles of lotion, everybody. I'm dodging hair clippers, everybody. And I'm dodging taco meat, everybody. So get the Crispy's Biscuits game right now, everybody, at crispysbiscuits.com, everybody. Now I'm about to do my coon laugh, everybody.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting Battlefight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Games, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
I am delivered!
Yo, we are back. Hold on one second. I got to get my Mackin music going on. I don't even have my Mackin music going on. Hold on. I'm slipping. Y'all wait 1 second. My Mackin music was supposed to be on, and I'm up here fucking up. All right, here we go. Shit. There we go. There we go. Let it flow. Yeah. Boom. All right, man. We're back. Welcome to Tariq Radio. Glad to have y'all tuning in. Sorry for the technical difficulty. Just trying to do things real fast here. I want to get into something real quick. This week, y'all know that there was a football coach for the Dolphins, Chris Forster, I think that's his name. He got called out there. The sister put him on out there. And let me call her. Let me just get right to it. Let me get her on the phone right now, because she's been waiting. Let me get her on the phone real quick. We're going to get this. I got to jump right into it.
Hello?
Hey, Kiana, it's Tariq.
Hey, what's going on, baby?
How are you, dear? So, ladies and gentlemen, I have my girl, my shero. This is Kiana Nige. That is your. Am I pronouncing your last name right? Nige?
Kiana Nige.
Nige. Nige. Nige. Okay. Now, now explain what happened this week. I briefly explained it a little bit. I talked about how Dolphins line coach Chris Forster, he resigned. He was forced to resign because he made a video that he sent you. He made a video of himself snorting lines of cocaine right before he went into a meeting, and they found out that he was doing the cocaine at the Dolphins office, right? From what I understand, right?
Right.
Yeah, so, you know.
At the headquarters in Miami.
Yeah, he was doing it at the headquarters. I don't know why his ass ain't arrested, but anyway. So he sent the video to you, and you put him on out there, and a lot of people are upset with you. How have you been taking the backlash, surprisingly, a lot of backlash towards you?
It's been a lot of backlash, which is very confusing, because why am I being attacked when this is a man that lied to me from the very beginning? Like, this man that told me that he was divorced from his wife. It's the man that decided to go ahead and take himself doing illegal drugs. Like, he said his office, when he paid multi-millions just to do a job. You know, like, why am I getting backlash? It has nothing to do with me. These are his actions as a grown man.
Absolutely. Now, how long have you or were you dealing with Forrester?
A little bit over a month, almost 2 months.
Oh, so you were just dealing with this guy kind of recently.
Right. This was all, like, recent activity, and it went very fast.
Okay. And where'd you meet him?
I met him in California, Oxnard, California.
Okay. Okay. And y'all had a cool relationship. Now, a lot of people assume that, you know, you guys, it was a full-on sexual relationship. But, you know, that that has never really been confirmed, now has it?
That's not been confirmed at all.
I think a lot of people would get that impression because on the video he mentioned that he wants to do cocaine off your cooch. and I'm trying to clean it up a little bit. So it seemed like he had all... Go ahead.
I don't understand why people would just come to that conclusion when I have a man that's professing his love to me as he's throwing all these lines off his desk in Miami or whatnot. And at the same time, I do understand because he was sitting there talking about how he wished he could be licking my pussy and stuff. I get it, but it's not my fault that somebody be basically daydreaming about licking my pussy. I can't control that either. That's him. Once again, these are all his thoughts. These are his words. These are his actions. So why am I being attacked over someone else? It's crazy.
Yeah. Do you think that there's a double standard that you've been attacked for putting him out there because the man is doing something illegal? And, you know,
Right.
I think there's a double standard. Do you feel like when other people, especially when white girls, they quote unquote expose people and put them out there like that, there's no backlash with them?
Right. They do this to minority athletes all the time. I mean, they're so quick to throw us under a bus, but when the shoe's on the other foot, it's a big issue. It's an issue when it's an African-American, you know, stating facts. Stating facts, showing facts. I don't have to say anything. You can just watch the video where I'm not even present in the video, and it shows you everything you need to see. It tells you everything you need to hear. Meanwhile, they'll be quick to just believe what a Caucasian woman has to say about minority athletes.
Right.
I don't recall them treating the Caucasian women that were involved with Tiger Woods this way. If I can recall, like, all of them had suspect backgrounds.
Absolutely.
Same thing with Bill Cosby.
Yep.
I remember all of them had suspect backgrounds, but I don't recall people dragging them through mud. So maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm tripping, but I'm guessing it's due to the fact that I'm an African-American woman and they were Caucasian women.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why. I'm not sure.
And you know what it is? Another thing, one of the big factors is a lot of these white dudes, and you know, this is a very slim chocolate sister, so, you know, I know white dudes, that's their fetish. I always talk about this on the show. White dudes, especially rich white dudes, they love them slim chocolate-ass sisters, real nice, shapely, slim chocolate motherfuckers. They love that.
Right.
They love
for
that.
For sure.
And the thing
for
is,
sure.
A lot of times when sisters get around dudes like the white dudes, they almost bow down, and you didn't. You're like, fuck you. I don't have to bow down to you.
Right.
And that's the thing that really has them pissed. Go ahead, sister.
Yes, and that's basically what the issue really is. This is what people aren't understanding. This isn't an issue over, oh, my gosh, she just wants money. It's nothing like that because, honestly, he's not even like someone that has the most money of all the men that I could date right now. He's actually more so like on the low ball list of the list.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? This is more so an issue about the fact that he sent me footage. And it's not just that video. I have multiple videos. I have multiple pictures. That's very incriminating of him and his character.
Send it to me. Send it to me personally. Send it to me. Text it to me.
No, it's going in my tell-all book.
I know. We'll get to the book in a minute, Kiana. We'll get to the book. But I want you to send some of it to me. That's just between me and you. Come on. Come on. You got to respect the game. This is between me, you, and the game.
Amen that up. Amen to go, brother.
Man.
Amen to go.
Man.
But yeah, so I think it's the fact that he did tell me, he basically demanded that I delete any photos and videos that he had sent because he knew he had incriminated himself. He had knew he had messed up, you know, and I denied him. I said no. And that's when he decided to be like, well, if you don't do that, that's equivalent to blackmail. I had to school him on what blackmail is. Blackmail is when you try to use information to get money out of an individual.
Yep. And you haven't asked him.
I never asked him.
Right, exactly.
I never asked him for money for none of the information.
Yeah, you're not doing this in exchange for no money. Exactly.
Is that my intentions prior to him even sending the video was to expose him regardless just with everything that's going on. We needed an even playing field. Like I said, it's so easy for people to go around and expose the minority players every day. Like, every opportunity, it seems, that a person gets, regardless if it's about weed, dogs, domestic issues, kneeling. It seems like every time they have an opportunity to exploit us or to make us look bad, they do. So, like I said, I decided on my own accord that I was going to expose this to even the playing field.
Yes.
How do you guys like it? Will we expose you and your habits?
Absolutely.
How do you like it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you did it for the culture. A lot of your motivation.
I did,
of your motivation. What was your other motivation?
What motivated me is society, baby. Society as a whole. A lot of people don't understand. Like, they're trying to just put me out here as a stripper. In all actuality, if you really know me, if people really like dug and got to know me, they'll learn. Actually, I'm a very educated woman. I graduated like one of the top people in my class from high school. I was 23rd in the nation volleyball. I was recruited by every college from here to Hawaii. I could win anywhere I went. I wanted to, but I decided to go to Mizzou. Like, so I understand what it is to be a player in society dealing with coaches like that, because I was in the same position. I had to deal with players and coaches that I knew didn't like me.
Oh,
that
yeah.
I knew just used me for my position, for what I brought to the team, because I was such a valuable player. But in reality, they really didn't care about me. So what people need to understand is it's deeper than what they seem to think this is. This is the simple fact that I actually understand what real players go through. I understand, like, athletics. A lot of people that are looking from the outside in don't have no clue.
Because yeah.
you've never been an athlete. How are you going to speak on something, understand how athletes feel when you've never been in the position?
Absolutely.
How?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, I mean, people, they've been harping on the stripper thing. You don't have to apologize or anything or explain anything about being a damn stripper. Hell, that's part of the game. There's a
right.
lot of strippers out there. Shit, you have to do what you got to do to get
right.
your paper. Ain't nothing wrong with that. It's a bad thing now that you expose one of their people.
Right, right. But the whole thing is, I don't even care. Anyone that knows me knows that I love being an all-around entertainer. I do whatever I feel like doing. So if that means I want to go into a radio studio, whatever, you know, music studio, make a track, I'll go into a music studio and I'll make a song. If that means I want to say, I want to go ahead and do a movie, I'll hop on movies such as Las Vegas, which I was featured in there.
Okay.
I'll hop on shows such as Gigolos, which I appeared and starred on Gigolos. So I feel like instead of just focusing on one of the things that I do as an entertainer, which is as a dancer, if you're going to do that, focus on everything that I've brought to the entertainment community. Focus on the fact that I'm actually working in studios like Patchwork and Grand Hustle. Focus on the fact that I actually have a known talent agency called Press Talent that's out here in Las Vegas. Focus on the facts. Don't just focus on one negative thing and try to run with that.
You plugging your ass off. Plug it.
Define me by everything.
Plug it. You plugging your ass off.
Define me by everything, baby.
Yeah.
Define the fact that you can watch me on TV. Define me by the fact you can go buy a DVD and probably see me in that DVD. Define me by the fact that I'm actually work with well-known artists. Like I said, this is not the only important person I know.
Yeah.
This is just somebody that, unfortunately, I did use them as an example for our society. I did. It's not that I dislike Chris. I have nothing against Chris at all. I just realized that in his position, he was abusing his position that he held in his team. So therefore, I had to use him as an example.
Now, let me ask you this. Wait. Hold on. Let me ask you this. Behind the scenes, pillow talk or whatever, behind the scenes, did he say any negative things about the black players?
No. He's never said anything about negative about the black players ever.
Good. Okay.
I don't think he would be ignorant enough to do that. I mean, he was ignorant enough to send the video.
Yeah, so. He sent some damn cocaine,
perhaps.
So he ain't the brightest motherfucker on the damn planet.
So perhaps. But I think when you're trying to get on an African-American female side, and he knew my history. Like, we sat and we talked and he got to know me. You know, so he knew my history. He knew the fact that I was an athlete. He knew that I was educated. He knew all of that. So that's actually something that attracted him more so to me, is the fact that the depths that I have to me, the layers that I have to me, that's what attracted him even more to me. So, no, he never stepped out his boundaries and came at me disrespectful about any African-American.
Yeah.
No, he's not that ignorant.
Yeah. Yeah, because, yeah, they like to make sure, when they deal with sisters, they like to try to make sure that they're bedwinches, and you reverse bedwinched his ass.
Right.
You weren't, like, on no slave shit, and that's the thing that has so many people pissed off. You and I talked,
right.
We talked earlier, and I was talking about how this one lady. She just deleted her Twitter page, too. I was going to give everybody her damn Twitter, but she already deleted it because folks got on her ass. She claimed to have dated Chris before, another black chick, and she was talking mad greasy, like, oh, people are so unfair. How dare he's such a nice man. He shouldn't have been exposed. And Kiana making black women look bad by exposing him. Just real nigga slave shit she's talking.
How am I making black women look bad? This is what's confusing.
You're not.
I don't understand why I'm even being attacked in the first place when I'm telling people I have proof that this man told me that he wasn't even married anymore. He told me he didn't even like his ex-wife. He referred to her as his ex-wife. I have text messages of him talking about her. You know what I'm saying? So how am I even making anything look bad? But like I said, I don't dislike Chris. He is a nice guy. He's a very nice man. It's just unfortunate that he took actions that he should not have took in his position. That's his fault. That's not my fault.
Absolutely.
And I use that as examples with the current situations that's going on in our society.
Yep.
If they're going to judge people, like I said, over weed, over everybody else, issues over Kaepernick and him not, you know, him kneeling and all that when it comes to the anthem. If you're going to do that, we also need to sit here and talk about how we have a man that we are paying $3 million a year to be a leader to these players, that they crucify at every period and given moment possible. They crucify these players. But we have to do the same thing to these coaches.
Absolutely.
Because they are the ones who are supposed to be leading the players in the first place. And how are you going to lead a player when you're a drug addict?
Absolutely.
How?
And they're punishing these people, and they got Trump ratting and raving, and they're trying to punish these guys for protesting non-justice. And you got these fuckers in here sniffing cocaine in the damn stadium and the whole thing. So, yes, you did the right thing for the culture. We need more sisters like you.
Seriously.
Yeah, I respect the hell out of that.
Seriously.
And you know
I know another female will probably sat there and just kiss his ass forever or whatever. But honestly, off the first time I met him and off the first time I seen how his skin now was, I already knew what I was going to do because it needed to be done.
Absolutely.
So I'm not even going to apologize for it. I don't care about people being like, oh, you snitch. It's not snitching, honey. This is a white privileged man. Snitching to me is when a minority tells on another minority, especially when we are all in the struggle.
Yep.
That's snitching.
That's
ain't
snitching.
Nothing going to hurt that man. He is a millionaire. He ain't worried about y'all, so why are y'all even worried about him?
Exactly.
He ain't worried about y'all. He is good. They're going to hold his hand. They're going to send him to rehab. They're going to hold his hand to rehab. And then when he's done with that, he's going to play his role, and he's going to act like he's perfect, and he's so sorry. And they're going to give him another job.
Absolutely.
This was simply an example. But if he was a black man, he would have got fired and forgotten about.
And locked
That's
up.
That's what pissed me the fuck off. Right.
Oh, yeah.
That's what pissed me off.
Yeah.
Because if he was black, it'd be completely different. So the fact that people are not really realizing what the what's going on with our society, that's what's really disappointing me, honestly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you got more balls than a lot of these dudes out here, too. I respect that. A lot of these dudes won't step up. That's enough, fellas, and especially dudes on the NFL. If you got a woman who will stand up to these fuckers, what does that say about you? Y'all got to stand up to that bullshit, too, and call it out and not bow down to it. So, yeah, I got the utmost respect for you, for speaking out, for being for being on code, because that's another thing. We got to be on code with each other. Just because they're giving you a couple of dollars. See, I like Kiana because Kiana's a hustler. I used to be a hustler. Game recognized game. This is a true hustler. She knows the game, and she knows how to play it correctly. You ain't going to depend on no one bullshit-ass, weak fucking dude to get your chips up. You know what I'm saying? So you can sacrifice one because you're going to be good. And I like that's a hustler mentality. And I want other people
Look,
to
have. Look, I was good before I met him.
No
I'm
doubt.
I'm still good after I met him. I'm still sitting up in the house, chilling, watching my cable, sipping my tea.
No doubt.
This is not affecting me. I don't care about all the hate mail. I don't care about everyone that's sending me out to KKK. How about they going to find me, lynch me, gut me, throw me in the ocean? I really don't care about any of that because at the end of the day, my point was so proven.
Absolutely. Yeah, ain't nothing going to happen to you. If something happened to you, I get a GoFundMe page for your ass to make sure you good. You're going to be fine.
Right, please. Just make sure my family good.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. We're going to make sure you good for the culture. Yeah, because they make sure they're...
Just make sure I look good in the cast.
Yeah. Yeah, they make sure the white girls
make
are good.
Make sure I go out like a diva.
You dig? You dig? All day. So what else you got going on, Kiana? What else you got popping?
I mean, right now, like I said, I have a lot of interviews. I just did TMZ. I did the Dan... What's his name? Dan LaBatard show. You know, I did all of that and doing all that. I had people like Dr. Phil and stuff that was trying to convince me to come on the show.
Mm.
But even dealing with them, they were trying to basically give me a gag order, which would prevent me from having this conversation with you.
Yeah.
So instead of me going that route, I decided to go this route to where the story is actually told the way it needs to be told. I'm not about to sell out my whole situation for a couple of dollars when I'd rather really just get the point across.
Absolutely.
If people really seem to think this is about money, if this is really about money, I wouldn't be doing these interviews and stuff for free.
No doubt.
Everybody seems to think that I'm just getting paid for all of these interviews. But if you even listen to like the Dan LaBatard show, the first thing he makes sure you people know is that's not getting paid for this.
Yeah.
This is just something that needs to be addressed.
Absolutely.
About our society. And it doesn't stop with the NFL, the NBA, none of that. This is our society in general. There's double standards out here. There's inequalities that needs to be addressed. It's been going on too long.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
2017. It's
Absolutely.
Almost 2018. And I feel like we're still enslaved as a people.
Absolutely.
I do.
Absolutely.
I feel like it's sugarcoated. And it seems like I'm just one of the only people that has enough balls to sit here and be like, this is not right and take a stand. I'm over it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't care.
Absolutely.
This is just going to result in something happening to me. I kind of do not care. I'm not going to lie. Because at the end of the day, at least my point was proven and my message was heard.
Yes,
we're
indeed.
Tired of it.
Yes,
I'm
indeed.
Tired of it.
Now, somebody in the chat room mentioned that Forster said something about keeping a baby. Now, what's the deal with that?
I'm pregnant. Forster knows.
Right. Okay. Now, okay. I know that. Now,
right.
Now, he obviously knows about it. Does he think it's his?
I'm sorry?
Now, does Forster think that it's his?
I'm not really going to talk about the pregnancy. That's just something that people have to read about in my
talk. Okay. I'm loving it. I'm loving it. It's getting juicier and juicier.
I got something for the book, baby.
Oh, it's getting juicier and juicier.
It's very juicy. Oh. I got to leave something for the tell-all.
Yes,
but I do love you guys.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So, cheese. But how many months are you, by the way?
I'm almost 2 months.
Okay, so you knew. Okay. Cool. This is some interesting shit. I can't wait 7 months from now. Shit. This is going to be interesting as hell.
Like, let me see the baby.
Now, this your first child, by the way?
And that's not the only thing, because I have a lot of people that are like, oh, he said he missed doing blow with you. See, what people need to understand is even in that thread, right, because, you know, like, we get messages if you're an iPhone user, we get messages. When I got that video message from him, after that we were texting and stuff, and I also done post this on my Facebook page, which you're free to follow because it's public. It's Kiana and IJ on the Facebook page, and even on Instagram I went ahead and I did a screenshot just to prove another point. Yes, he said that he missed going below with me. By that is because I was his human platter. He enjoyed doing lines and stuff between my breasts. He enjoyed doing lines off my body in general because I have a beautiful body. It's understandable.
Right.
So people need to understand just because the way he said certain things does not mean nothing. But if you go look at the third, if you go look at the screenshot, you'll also see him right underneath the video that he sent. Now, make sure that you can see the timestamp too, so it doesn't look like I deleted messages, make it look a certain way or anything.
Okay.
You'll see that underneath it, he asked me, baby, so how do you like your weed? Because I'm a weed smoker.
Okay.
I like marijuana. I'm licensed for weed. so I can smoke legally.
Yes.
For me, it's legal. I'm prescribed.
But you don't fuck with that cocaine. You don't mess with the cocaine.
People just really stop jumping to conclusions. Everybody's just trying to throw me under a bus because one of their white prestigious people were called doing wrong. That has nothing to do with me. He's a grown man. You guys need to allow him to deal with his own decisions.
Now, let me ask you
That's
this.
That's what men do. They deal with their decisions and consequences that they have to deal with from making them decisions.
Now, let me ask you
this.
Can you hear me, Kiana?
All the way out there. You know, it's just a little bit, you know, the little drizzle that I put out there just to clear some things up.
Now, let me ask you this.
I like smoking weed.
All right, let me ask you
just
this.
Just to clear that up.
Can you hear me? You must be listening to the playback. Can you hear me now? Kiana, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, there you go, because I was talking. Now, let me ask you this. Has Forrester reached out to you? I know he probably said something about blackmail. So has he reached out like in any other threatening manner, like threatening a lawsuit or anything like that?
No. The only thing that I ever took that was threatening at all was when he told me that basically if I did not delete the pictures, the incriminating pictures that he did, because he sent me pictures with, I guess you would call prostitutes in this room. Like while he was in New York, he had call girls in this room. He sent me pictures of them. He's also sent me like other videos and stuff of him getting high. So what he did was he actually just told me that if I did not delete footage, that I would be turned over to his NFL security team. So what sounds like to me was like they have a team of people that go into the world and clean up situations like that, which wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me. It almost sounds like Scandal. Like I said, perhaps maybe I'll watch too many seasons of Scandal. I don't know.
That sounds
they
like a threat.
Have a cleanup crew.
That sounds like a damn physical threat.
It really does. But so the way I look at it is, he's white and he's prestigious, and with that comes a lot of like possibilities.
Absolutely.
So they might have a cleanup crew.
You know,
I'm not going to put it past them
now,
at all.
Are you familiar with, you remember V. Stiviano? That was the chick who was with Sterling, Donald Sterling. Remember her?
Right.
Yeah, and there was a cleanup crew for her. Somebody assaulted her randomly. She was in New York, and some white dude ran up and hit her with like a club or something. So she got assaulted by some, and a lot of people are saying that some folks were sent at her. So, yeah, you don't put nothing past these white supremacists and these coke heads and some of these people in powerful positions. You don't put nothing past them. That's why, you know, we gotta make sure you're good, you know?
Right.
Now,
I'm not really worried about that. Like, I come from a Navy family. I have plenty of siblings. I have plenty of friends. I'm from Kansas City, Missouri. So with that being said, I grew up basically in the battlefield. There's really nothing that really scares me about these people. Yes, I'm talking about like white America. And when I say America, I'm talking about AMERIKKKA. I'm talking about all of them. Nothing about them scares me at all because chances is they will not come to the hood of Kansas City. Chances is they will not try that. So I'm not really worried about that at all. That's not, you know, me, like, trying to, you know, pick a store or anything like that. That's just stating facts. I grew up in a city where we have to be worried when we go to a club, when we go to school, when we go to a bus stop. So what makes people think I'm going to change my life just because they're mad that one of their prestigious people screwed up?
Right,
I'm not worried about them. They need to leave me alone.
Now, are there other prestigious white guys that you've been with?
That I deal with?
Yes.
Of course. Like I said, he's like the bottom of the barrel.
Can we name some other names? Not to throw them out there negatively, but you know.
Oh, nah, baby. They confidential.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this.
I got plenty of people that's been around for years, and they my niggas, too. No. What's up, y'all?
Now, okay, look, I saw a video that you did. You were talking about, you know, because you do a lot of videos on, I think, like Facebook.
Yeah.
And one of your videos, wasn't Bobby V trying to holler at you?
Oh, why you want to holler about Bobby
V? You put it out there.
Man, you really been digging. Okay.
What happened? You put it out.
Yeah,
what happened?
Bobby B, you know what I'm saying? What's up, baby, if you listen, call me. He cool, though. He's cool, people. And like I said, I work in the music industry also. So it's not rare for me to, like, rub shoulders with people in the industry.
But what did Bobby V want? Did Bobby V want you to introduce him to some dudes? What did Bobby V want?
No, Bobby V wants to be introduced to me. What do you mean?
Bobby B, look, this
is something else I want to clear up for the hump. Bobby B was running from that situation. He wasn't running away from it, but his clothes was off. What, baby?
But his clothes were off.
Let's be honest. Right, so this is what happened, because I didn't talk to him about it. This is what happened. You got to think about it. In 2017, you have a lot of transgenders out here that look better than a lot of women. Let's be honest.
Okay.
You have a lot of good-looking men out here. And oftentimes, some men don't know until it's too late. When he found out, he ran.
But that motherfucker's voice sounded like Barry White. That was a strong voice fucking tranny.
You don't know. You got to listen to my voice, too. My voice is trash.
No. Right? You got a girl fucking voice. You got a girl voice. That motherfucker in that video sounded like damn Joe Budden or something. It sounded like a dude.
You never know what a person is going through, baby. You can't judge a person
I'm
off
not
their voice.
Judging. I'm not judging.
You literally, like, I know people, bro. That's the whole point. Like, I know some, like, trannies and stuff. I even got friends that, like, are on Facebook, and people don't realize that they really a boy. Like, people really don't know. So I understand. I understand what he's saying. And Bobby V, you know, I'm old woman, and he still wants all this woman.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Lord.
He said in my book, can't believe everything that the public tries to convince us, man.
Lord.
Y'all can't, because all they're really trying to do is break down what a black man is.
Because
if there are black men behind us, we are going to crumble, honey.
Man.
We're not going to be nothing without strong black men behind us.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
What else do y'all think the media is going to do? They're going to try to brainwash you to make you think that all the good black men out here are wrong in some manner. They're too domestic. Either domestic violence, or, ooh, they like smoking weed, or, ooh, they like doing drugs, or, ooh, they're gay.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they like doing, is breaking down the black men in our society.
Yeah,
pure point blank.
Absolutely.
So we sit here, we listen to everything that the media tries to convince us that really make us
Now, let me ask you, where you grew up in Kansas City? Where'd you grow up?
All over Kansas City, baby. I'm fully, like, from every part of Kansas City possible. From the hood of Kansas City.
Yeah, it's real
South
hood.
South Kansas City, such as Ruskin Heights, to, you know, the middle white areas, such as Independence, to areas such as Blue Springs, Missouri, which is like the suburban part of Kansas City. I'm like Kansas City as a whole. I represent the whole entire thing because I went to school over the whole entire area of Kansas City.
I feel you. But anyway, man, it's been real. It's been some good information, real good talk. I can't wait to the baby. Now, is this your first child, Kiana?
No. This is not my first. I actually have two little boys. I have one son that's in Kansas City.
Okay.
And then I have one that's in private school out here in Las Vegas with me.
Okay. Are they by black men or white men?
Black.
Okay. Just double checking. We want to make sure you don't have.
Yes, I don't have any interracial children. But don't get me wrong, it's not because I have anything against that.
Right.
I have two of my sister-in-laws are white women. My stepfather is a white man, so this is why I keep trying to explain to people. I have nieces and nephews. Most of my nieces and nephews are all mulatto.
Wait. Let's back up. You said your stepfather is white.
Yes, my stepfather is white.
Oh, so
very much so.
So your mom married
the mother of my brother's children. They're all white.
So your mom. Wait. Let's unpack this. I like to get into people's upbringing. So your mom married a white guy.
Yeah, she loved my father and married a white man.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's interesting. Yeah. How old were you when that happened?
Yes. She loved my father. I actually convinced my mother to leave my dad when I was about 9 or 10 years old.
When you were how old?
When I was 9, like between like 9 and 10.
9 and 10, okay.
In grade school.
So you convinced your mom to divorce him cause, or leave him. I don't know if they were married or not, but you convinced her to leave your
dad.
Yeah,
they were married.
Okay, so why did you convince your mom to leave your dad?
Because my dad was a very abusive person. He wasn't a positive influence to our family. I knew my mom deserved better.
That's interesting. That is very interesting.
I'm an honest person, honey.
Oh,
I'm going to tell it like this. I've been this way my whole life. That's my whole point. I've been the way I am my whole life. Anyone that knows me will tell you this.
Now, are you going to talk about that in your book?
If you're right. Yes, yeah, so I'm going to talk about all of this in my book. The first book that I'm about to be dropping is just going to be more so just based about this. And then I just realized that everybody is so kind of, you know, I'm not going to say nosy, but they just want to figure out me and my story and who I am and how did I go from being 23rd in nation volleyball to, like, you know, being an entertainer. So I figured I'll do two sets of books. Do the first one, which is really just based off this situation.
Well, let's
and
go back.
I'm going to do another one.
Right. Let's
based
go back.
Off
let's,
my life in general.
Let's go back a little bit. Now, so you grew up in a household with a white stepfather. How was that growing up as a black girl with a white stepfather in the house? How did he treat you?
Ooh, now you get into some real juice.
Yes,
ooh,
yes. Because your shit is interesting.
I don't even know how to go ahead and tap into that because if I'm honest, you're going to stir up some feelings.
Let's do it. I love it.
Well, abusive-wise, the treatment of my mom, he treated my mom like a queen. I feel like that. He treated my mom like a queen. He would give her anything that she wanted. He's, like, one of the main reasons why we moved from, like, the middle-class black area, which is known as Ruskin Heights in Kansas City, to what's known as the suburbs of Blue Springs in Kansas City, which is basically East Kansas City.
Okay.
So he's the reason why we went from one section of the city to a more prosperous section of the city. But at the same time, a lot of us understand that dealing with certain situations comes a lot of sacrifices. So even though, yes, I will say he treated my mom like a queen, for me, it was kind of a love-hate relationship because I resemble my mom a lot. I resemble her a lot. Then my stepdad is also 10 years younger than my mom.
Oh.
And he's only 20 years older than me.
Oh, wow. So
you get my drift?
So did he ever try to mess with you when you were a child?
So you get my drift.
Yeah.
So, like I said, it's a lot of sacrifices that come with certain situations.
Okay, we got to unpack
and
that. Wait. We can't.
Have to read about in my book.
Come on, no, I don't want to glance over that. This is some real shit because I already know. I know how those white stepdads do when they have them black children around.
Right,
I already
right.
know. You understand what I'm saying?
For sure.
For
sure.
I already.
For sure. That's just something else that I would talk about in my book.
Ah, but now, did your mom know about some of the little sucker shit he was doing behind the scenes?
Yes. Yes, I've always been a very outspoken person. Like I said, obviously, if I'm 9 years old, tell my mom to leave my dad because he's just not a good man at all. If I'm 9 years old, tell my mom to leave my own father. When I'm about 13, 14, 15, and up, I should say, and I'm sitting here telling her other things, yeah, my mom's. She was fully aware of certain things, but unfortunately in our society, we deal with a lot of people that will deny situations. Same thing with this coach. They'll rather be like, oh, she's lying. I didn't do this. I didn't do that.
So,
meanwhile, you'll have like nothing but facts.
Right.
You know, like I'm happy in this situation. I have great point blank facts. Like it's no way for you to deny anything. And to be honest, it's kind of a similar situation that I went through with him because it took years, though. It took years with him for me to have enough facts for me to be like, I told you so when it came to her because she didn't believe me.
Absolutely. Now, is your mom still with him?
She is.
Good Lord. Good fucking grief.
Right.
Yeah, your mom went full bedwinch. Your mom was on some bedwinch shit, man. I see that all the time.
That's another reason why I left Kansas City a long time ago. It's reasons why I left home. And people that actually know me, because I had people that I used to run to and cry to and tell my story to, even back then, that understand like the struggles of my life in general.
Oh, yeah. Look, I've been around the game all my adult life, and I know, you know, I know certain things in people's background that triggers their direction towards the game. That's what, I just know. You know what I'm saying? We know. People know. You just know.
Right.
And, you know, that's why I don't judge. I don't judge anybody who has to, you know, go out there and spit, get their money, do what they have to do. Because you don't know nobody's struggle. You don't know anybody's background. You don't know the bullshit that some people have to grow up with and in order for them to come to certain decisions. So I feel you 100%. I feel you 100%. And I can't wait to get your book.
Right, but like I said, I don't even mind, honestly, because the things I've been through just in my life in general just really molded me to be ready for life. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is just, we're all just living life, and we're all going to have our own trials and tribulations in the end. So I'm not even mad at anyone. You know what I'm saying? Like, they just taught me something. Every situation teaches you something if you'll just sit back and listen and pay attention. As long as you live and learn, you're never losing. You only lose when you don't learn from your situation.
Absolutely. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think, and I'm trying to be a little psychiatrist here, a lot of... the motivation, you're doing it for the culture, but a lot of the motivation in exposing that cokehead-ass coach, a lot of that, you grew up with an older white male figure who was abusive and you could do nothing about it. You were powerless to it. So now that gave you the motivation. You're in a position where you could utilize your power. You got something on somebody from the dominant society who's being abusive, and now you can use your power, the power that you didn't have as a child. Do you think there was a motivation with that?
Honestly, no. I think that I'm just who I am. This is just who I've always been. So the motivation is just me being me, baby.
Like, I love it.
I'm not taking out the fact that I had like an abusive childhood or anything. I'm not taking that out on the next innocent person or anything. If anything, like I said, that just taught me. You see what I'm saying? Like, it taught me how to deal with the situation.
It taught you how to be on code.
Sitting here being ratchet or ghetto, I sat there and I was nice and classy. And while he thought that he was running game on me, which he seems to have thought he was running game on me, I was throwing the same game right back at him.
Because
I've seen it before.
Absolutely.
I've seen it before. I've heard it before. He's not the first man that swore that he was divorced. That really wasn't. This isn't new. Ain't new. Everybody lies.
Of course.
So I really don't believe the words that come out most people's mouths. I watch what you do. I look for facts. That's what I look for. I'm not going to say that my past situations is fueling my actions today. And it prepared me for today, though.
Right. And I'm not saying that even in a negative way. There's a lot of things that happen that will motivate us to do certain things, not in a bad way, because what you did is perfect. I love what you're putting them on out there, because you're showing that you are on code with other people who are about black empowerment, and that's what we're ultimately trying to get. I always tell people, anybody in black society, we're all victims of white supremacy, so we all, no matter what part of life we're in, we need to be on code where we're going to empower each other no matter what. If we're in the game, if we're square, if we're hustling, whatever we do, we need to be on code and be about ultimately empowering each other as a collective.
Right.
And that's what you've done, and I respect the hell out of that, and that's why these white supremacists are so mad
Thank
at you.
You
dig?
But
anyway.
I mean, sometimes, like I said, this is just a battle out of a war, you know, and when you're in any kind of battle in life, it's going to be sacrifices that's made. But long as in the end, it should result in a win. Long as in the end, it results in a win. About me saying win, it doesn't mean, oh, screw you guys or anything like that. All I'm asking for is equality.
Absolutely.
That's it. I just want everybody to be treated the same. Everybody swears that it's equal treatment. And no, it's not. So until that day comes, I'm gonna keep doing what I'm doing.
Absolutely, and you have boys. You have little boys. So, you know how society is towards them. So I understand the motivation to protect them, even on a subconscious level. So I get that.
For sure.
Absolutely.
For sure. The streets is not safe for African American men at all. We all know that.
Absolutely.
Like, we take chances. As soon as a black man leaves his home, he's taking a chance with his wife. Meanwhile, if a Caucasian man leaves his home, chances is he's going to come back home with a higher credit score.
Mm.
Like, it's just not fair.
Absolutely.
It's not.
Absolutely. Anyway, Kiana, let me get out of here. Thank you so much for chopping it up with me. It's been real.
No problem,
it has been real. And we're going to chop it up some more off air, because there's a lot of other stuff we got to get into. But thank you, dear. And I'm going to give you a holler in a minute, okay?
Okay, baby. You have a blessed night.
You too. All right. Let me get my Mac and music back on. We got to unpack some of that stuff. Let me get my music back on. Hold on. All right. That was Kiana Nigi. She was the, I say mistress, that would be the correct word, the mistress of Chris Forrester, the coach of the line coach of the Dolphins. Now, who's hating in the chat room? We got a couple of white supremacists in the chat room. She was spitting some good shit. Some people saying she was long-winded. No, I like to get to the root of things. I like to ask certain questions to kind of get to the root of a lot of things. And we've unpacked a lot of stuff. There's a lot of life lessons in what this sister said. I want y'all to really peep something. That's why I was asking certain questions, because we have to look at the motivation for her to do the right thing. What she did by exposing this damn cokehead dude, that was the right thing. She put a dent in systematic white supremacy. She put them on Front Street, showing the hypocrisy. And I love that. See, she was a reverse bedwench. The white supremacists cannot stand a reverse bedwench. When they get a Negro bedwench, or who they think is a Negro bedwench, and bring her in the circle, and then you lower your defenses around her. Because, see, the thing is, most Negro bedwenches are completely loyal to white supremacy. Because Negro bedwenches, they get nigger trinkets, and nigger trinkets usually shut black folks up. The minute we start getting nigger trinkets and a couple of dollars, we'll whore ourselves out and we'll shut the fuck up. Men and women do that in black society. Men and women will do that in black society. And that's some punk ass shit we got to get off of. When somebody in the dominant society dangles money in our face, we got to spread our butt cheeks open. So this sister was like, yeah, you know, I'm getting money out this trick, this little cokehead trick, but I got game. I can go get a trick any damn time. And y'all saying she's long-winded, but y'all got to understand, this chick, she's in the game. Cool sister, she got a little mouthpiece on her. She knows how to spit, so she knows how to go out there and catch her a white trick. That ain't nothing. That's game. I respect that. I respect the fucking game. A lot of that shit will go over a square nigga's head. A lot of niggas will, that shit'll go smooth over your head. I respect her because she reverse bedwinched his ass. If you're going to be with somebody, you flip it on their ass and then use that to empower the culture. But look at her background, though. Her background was very interesting. And look, she has two boys. She has a couple of kids already. So that's another thing. That was her motivation of putting the information out there, because she knows how black males are treated, and she's raising two black males, so she's sympathetic towards that. Also, her mother was a damn bedwench. She grew up in a household with a real full-fledged bedwench, so she knows how dangerous a goddamn bedwench is, and she didn't want to be that herself, because the bedwench mom let her get molested. Now, she basically admitted in so many words that that white stepdad of hers was molesting her. She admitted that in so many words. That's what it sounds like. The white stepdad was messing with her. So she knows how dangerous a real hardcore Negro bedwench is, and the bedwench ass mama is still with the white stepdad. So that was another motivating thing for her, which she really didn't admit, because that brought a lot of pain for her, and I didn't want to dig too deep in that. But the thing is, she knows how white supremacy works, and she knows the devious privileges of white supremacy, how they get around black folks and they can do whatever, especially to black children. So she's like, look, you got me, but now I got you. So that was her motivation, whether she knows it or not, on a subconscious level. And that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing at all. There's a lot of things that motivate us to make decisions as adults to do the right thing. And what she did was the right thing, especially for the culture. You dig? So she has motivation for gaming and spitting at these white dudes and breaking them. She has motivation for spitting and manipulating them. Not mad at all. That's what you're supposed to do when you get in the game. That means you're on top of your shit. You're supposed to have that mentality if you are in the game. I don't hoe hate. I don't hustle hate. We never know what makes a person makes their decisions in life. What makes them take certain paths in life, we never know. But as long as you take a path, especially when you get in the game, as long as you stay on top of the game and you stay 10 steps ahead of the tricks, you doing the right thing. I got the utmost respect for her. And she has a consciousness about herself. She knows what the game is. She's like, look, we go through a lot in society dealing with white racism. She's not getting up under these white tricks and letting them run that dumb game on her like she's the special Negro. She knows better. I respect that. See, the problem with bedwinches get around these cokehead white dudes and they start telling them they're special and they believe that shit and they start running around talking about what about black on black crime. They start talking dumb shit. This sister knew what was up. She knows the game. She knows the game. I should ask her if she ever had some people give her some instructions. That's what I should have asked. I'm going to ask her that off air. But it seemed like she'd have been around some real ism. Somebody done sat her down and put her up under some instructions. Because she seems real seasoned. And she seems like she's been gamed up. Somebody has loaded her up with some real good game. And she knows how to catch real good. But I want to know what's going on with that pregnancy, too. That's another thing that's very interesting. I want to know who the fuck she's pregnant by this time. That's an interesting thing. If she's pregnant by Forrester, that's going to be crazy. That's going to be crazy as hell. But the thing is, man, always stay on code no matter what. Always stay on code and always be about the business of game. And the thing is, just don't, when I say be about business, that don't mean open your butt cheeks up and just do anything for a dollar. Let's get into some game tonight. The worst kind of hoe is a hoe that's strictly fucking for money. You see, the worst kind of hoe, let me say that again so y'all can feel me, is a hoe who's strictly fucking for money. That's not what a seasoned hoe gets out here in the game for. A seasoned girl in the game, a seasoned hoe, and I'm saying hoe just for the sake of conversation, not to be derogatory. But a seasoned hoe, her motivation is the love of the game, the knowledge from the game. That's the motivation of a seasoned, thorough hoe. It ain't about just getting a dollar. You can get a dollar from anywhere. But it's all about understanding the game, and your motivation is mastering the game and having a tight mouthpiece. Because if you have a tight mouthpiece and you've mastered the game, the money's going to come. The money comes from the mouthpiece. The money don't come from the ass. Once you open the ass and the cooch, you just cut off the money. The money comes from spitting. That's the real motivation, or it should be the real motivation of anybody getting in the game, tightening up your mouthpiece. See, a lot of folks got the game all the way fucked up. And the thing is, when people start doing certain things, you think you have to do it for a damn dollar. That's why black folks sit up here and you get silenced because somebody's dangling money in your face. And this is why so many people are disappointed with some of the guys in the NFL, these brothers out here. And Jerry Jones, he just announced that he's basically going to make the player. He's going to force him to stand for the anthem. And word is that they're going to do it. Now, this sister right here, you got a sister out here by herself standing up to this, these suspected white supremacists out here in the NFL on her own, and she's getting threats. If a woman can stand up to these cats and expose them and put them out there and call them out on their bullshit, brothers can't be on that fuckboy shit. Women can't be out here representing more than dudes. Understand, a lot of cats, their mentality is, well, if I stand up to Massa Jerry, that's gonna mess up my money. And that's our problem. Hoeing for a dollar. See, back in the 60s, people, they would put their integrity first, the dollar second. If you got integrity, you gonna get some money, but the dollar was second. I'm not gonna let you abuse me for a couple of dollars and then I'm gonna end up broken on my ass anyway. Just like Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali, he put a lot of money on the line standing up for what he believed in. And they threatened his paper. They threatened the bag. But the thing is, Muhammad Ali was good till he died. His money was straight. But these compromising coons, you know, like the Jackie Robinsons and all these cats, like the Joe Louis's and all this. Joe Louis, he was on the coon train a little bit too, if we're going to be honest. Y'all better look into Joe Louis ass. Y'all show me some times in history when Joe Louis was on some real, real pro-black shit. I ain't shitting on Joe Louis, but he dabbled on the coon train a little taste. But a lot of these people died broke. There's a lot of those old school coons who were towing the line for white supremacy, and they died broke. And these dudes, somebody in the chat room made a good point. These dudes are already millionaires. What the fuck you opening your ass for? If that's the case, retire with your millions and go sit down somewhere. Fuck them. Because this whole thing with the NFL making cats stand up, that's them basically making you bow down to white supremacy. That's why on this Sunday's game, every single NFL player shouldn't play. They should all not play. All of them. Every single one of the black players should just not play. Whoever's playing this Sunday said, no, we won't even show up. They have to have a unified front like that, because these white supremacists are taking a unified front against your ass. You need to take a unified front against them. Do not be afraid of them taking some money away from you. You got to think like a hustler, like me and the sister who called up. She thinks like a hustler. She's like, look, I can expose Forrester. I got a whole bunch of tricks like that. He ain't even the richest one. Oh, this sister right here, she's one of them real slim chocolate sisters, and that's what them white dudes really like. They like them like that. And she got a mouthpiece too, so she's gonna be all right. She's gonna be fine. And she knows that. See, you gotta know your own worth. See, the average hoe-ass bed wench who don't have no game, all they know is bowing down to any white dick. They ain't got no game. All they know is the bob and weave on a dick game. That's all they know. They have no mouthpiece. So the minute white daddy runs up on them, they start talking his stupid shit. They start talking like the white supremacists. That's the bedwinch mentality. So they'll sit up there and go along with it because they don't know how to get no paper nowhere else. They don't know how to survive nowhere else. So they feel lucky that white massa brought them out of the damn shack into the big house. They have that mentality. But that sister who called up, Kiana, she thinks like a hustler. Look, I can get mine. You got to think like that in all walks of life, even in the NFL. It's time for y'all to stand up against these white supremacists. They're making money off you. They're making money off you. Their daily bread comes from you. Their billions come off your back. Black folks, learn how to leverage your damn talent. Leverage what you have. I was watching the BET Hip Hop Awards the other day, last night as a matter of fact, and they gave an award to Luther Campbell, Mr. Luke Skywalker, Luke Records, and he gave a great speech. Luke gave a great speech, profanity laden and all. Luke was basically like, look, I've been in this game 35 years and nobody never honored me or gave me shit. He was spitting some real shit. He was like, look, I knew DJ Khaled when Khaled was selling brick phones. I knew this dude. I knew French Montana. I knew Trick Daddy when he was this. So he was just breaking it down like, hey, I was trying to teach these brothers how to do business. Fuck all the stupid shit. I'm trying to teach all these cats you see on the stage, all these people here in Miami. I try to teach them business coming up. And he did. Luke was one of the people, well, not one. He was the person who put Miami on the map. Luke put Miami on the map. And he showed a lot of people in the industry how to handle business. Because he was one of the first hip-hop label owners. You know, Russell Simmons, but no, Luke was for real independent. So he was spending some real good game on how to be about business, unapologetically about business, and how black folks should be about that business. He was talking about how his wife is a sports agent and how they told her that, you know, as a black woman, she ain't going to be this, she ain't going to be that, and she negotiated one of the biggest contracts in the industry. Black folks, stop being afraid of these fuckers, man. Get off the goddamn coon train and stop being afraid of white supremacy. Stand up for yourself. Call them out. I don't want to be one of the only. See, people push me out there because they know I'm not afraid of calling them out. But the thing is, all of us, don't hide behind me. That's the thing. I don't want to be your shield. You need to be out here with me. All of you standing up and you speaking out. Don't use me as the shield, because a lot of niggas do that. They'll try to Martin Luther King a nigga, just put one person out there so they can get shot up and stabbed, and then you can go somewhere and eat butter biscuits and then be on TV sucking dick, living off the fumes of the person that you were hiding behind, like Andrew Jackson and all the, no, what, not Andrew, Andrew Young, that's what I mean, Andrew Young and all those other coons who live off the fumes of being around Dr. King, but they ain't nothing but big ass coons right now. You dig? But all the players this week should sit the game out. Damn kneeling. Don't even play. Because right now, they want, this is a pivotal moment in history right now. These white supremacists are trying to make you bow down. Right now is a very important time in history. We need to be standing up taller than ever. They are trying to make these players bow down, and what they're going to do is get symbolic black folks, and they've always done this. They've always got affluent symbolic black people to make examples of to get all the other black people in line. And nobody in black society is really more prominent and affluent than the athletes. So this is why they're using them as an example. They're making examples out of them. So they're propping them up in front of the world to make them bow down, just like Cam Newton. They made Cam Newton bow down. He's apologizing and all that. That's a symbolic lynching. Once they get the affluent blacks to bow down, they're going to try to make all the other blacks bow down. And if these niggas are bowing down, don't you be like them. You be better than them. You understand what I'm saying? Know your self-worth. Look, I've been in meetings before. I've dealt with networks before where people wanted to give me television shows, and I'm cool, but then somebody in the meeting will say something kind of off the wall and rub me the wrong way. I just leave. I will just leave. And I've done that. I've been to meetings and people have rubbed me the wrong way. I'm talking about at big-ass networks. But people are promising me everything, and they say something that just rubs me fucked up. I'm like, okay, y'all have a good day. I've walked out, and it shocked them that I would walk out. It just baffles them. Because, see, we live in an industry, especially in Hollywood, where, you know, men and women would go somewhere and, you know, go up in an office and just start sucking whatever dick is directed towards them. and they won't say nothing or do nothing. They'll go along with it because they just want to be on TV real bad, or they need some money real bad. And even, you know what, Terry Crews, the actor, he said, he was on Twitter the other day talking about how a male executive sexually harassed him, how some executive grabbed him on his dick in front of his wife and all this old shit. And Terry Crews, he's like, I didn't want to beat his ass and all this old stuff, and I didn't want to speak out. Man, fuck that. Fuck that. That's buck breaking. If somebody does that to you in front of your wife, that's buck breaking. That's them emasculating you in front of your lady. That's the definition of buck breaking. See, the thing is, I have the hustler mentality. When I would go to meetings, the reason I could walk out, the reason I can say, hey, I'm cool on this, but y'all have a good day, because I didn't go in there hungry. I didn't go in there on some broke, desperate, dusty nigga shit. There's an old saying, you never go to the grocery store hungry. Because when you go to the grocery store hungry, you just start picking up any and every bullshit thing you don't really need. When you go in there hungry, you haven't eaten, you start picking up everything on every aisle, every little bullshit thing you don't need, and you're just in there wasting money. You don't go to the grocery store hungry. When you are full, you go in there and get the things you need. You're not going in there getting a whole bunch of unnecessary shit. They can't sell you shit that you don't need. You're not trying to buy things you don't need. You're not trying to take things you don't need. You're getting the bare necessities. So when you are dealing in life and you're not hungry, you go in there and you're fed, you don't have to take anything they throw at you. If they're not throwing good food at you, well, I'm cool on these groceries. Again, I remember going to another meeting, and I'm in there trying to talk big money. I'm talking big money. I'm not talking nigga trinkets, because with black folks, if you look at like those old, those movies that they do about black singers and black entertainers from the 50s and 60s and 40s and all that, you notice they always show a scene where they're giving a black entertainer some nigga trinkets, like a car. All those movies, like the Five Heartbeats, the Temptations, all those movies, even the James Brown movie. James Brown was the only one who said, hey, take this fucking Cadillac back. I don't give a shit about no Cadillac. They tried to give James Brown a Cadillac. I give a fuck about a Cadillac. I'm handling business. I got bigger sights on my mind than a damn Cadillac. Give that back. And the driver, I don't need that either. But they think they have us pegged because, truth be told, they have most of us pegged. They know that the average black person loves nigga trinkets. So when you go in there, not on the average Negro tip, you're going to go in there with a different mentality. Again, I've been to meetings before. I went to a meeting and one of the executives was on this thing where they was trying to, I guess, lure me in to sign a deal with them. And he kept talking about certain car. Hey, man, if we ever get this show off the ground, you can get this car and that car. And I'm like, motherfucker, I just drove up here in that car. I drove here in the car you're talking about. Literally, a dude was telling me about a car that I told him, I said, hey, that's cool, but I got that car parked right downstairs. So what kind of money and back end are we getting? I'm talking business. Don't talk to me about no fucking nigga trinkets that I already got. I'm good. So we got to stop being children. We got to stop talking dumb shit and stop being afraid to tell these people, hey, it's time to handle business. I'm here at the table for a big plate of some real shit. I'm not here to play games. So we got to start thinking like hustlers. We got to start, again, building our own economic base so that when we go to the dominant society, we don't have our ass open. And again, like I said, back in the day, I walked away from a lot of deals that weren't for me, again, because I knew how to go ahead and get my paper. I knew how to get out of here and grind without opening my ass for somebody. And right now, I got a movie coming out tomorrow that's sold out. And it's what, number 4 on Amazon now. And it ain't even out yet. It's in the top 5 right now on Amazon. Ain't even out yet. And didn't have to kiss no white ass to do it. Now, again, I'm still in the system of white supremacy, but I'm maneuvering my way in it that benefits me and benefits the culture. That's the kind of confidence you have in yourself. The game is always the safety net. And I know I got enough game to go out here and get it in spite of the bullshit. I have to maneuver and step over different obstacles laid out by the white supremacists. But that's part of the game. That's why it's important to be motivated by game and not by the dollar. Because once you got the game, you will get the dollar. And by the way, all my LA people, I want to see y'all at 1804 tomorrow night out here in Los Angeles at the Area Fine Art Theater. There's only a handful of tickets left. It's almost sold out. By the time this show is over tonight, it might be sold out. 1804movie.com. By the way, the Chicago tickets are up. It's going to be in Chicago next Thursday, October 19th, and in Chicago, October 20th, that Friday. So it's 2 days in Chicago at the Studio Movie Grill. It used to be called Chatham 14. The tickets are on sale right now at 1804movie.com. Atlanta is going to be at the Midtown Theater on Wednesday of next week. Go to 1804movie.com. All you people all over the country, Indianapolis, Miami, Dallas, Houston, Philly. There's another 10 o'clock show added on Philly. The 7 o'clock show is sold out. The 10 o'clock show is available in Philly. Get that. The Senator Theater. I'm going to be at the Senator Theater in Baltimore, Maryland. Get your tickets for that theater for next Thursday. Birmingham, England. I'm going to be out there in Birmingham, England, October 22nd. That's Sunday. Next Sunday. Not this coming Sunday, but next Sunday, October 22nd. I will be out there. Me and my dude Ola out there making it happen. We added a 10 o'clock show in Washington, D.C. The 7 o'clock show was sold out. 10 o'clock in Washington, D.C. next week, next Thursday. Get your tickets, 1804movie.com. It's going to be in Arizona, 1804movie.com. Denver, Colorado, 1804movie.com. Get your tickets. Minneapolis is going to be out there. St. Louis, get your tickets. The most important movie of the year, 1804, The Hidden History of Haiti. Everybody needs to be in the theater. Shout out to Houston. They got their tickets in Houston. Yes, indeed. 1804movie.com. I want to see y'all in your Ogun shirts. Get your Ogun shirts at TariqElite.com. Get your Ogun shirts, TariqElite.com. All right, y'all. It's been real. Real good conversation with the family tonight, y'all. I will holler at you guys Sunday on Ustream. What was a long show tonight, man? This is a very long show tonight. All right.